enemy is obviously our enemy, and the enemy of our enemy is our friend, or is it another enemy? The friend of our enemy is, oh boy, that gets confusing quick, but the one thing we can be sure of is who the enemy is, and of course the enemy hates us. Oh, what if the enemy doesn't hate you? Let's discuss it on the Corner of Truth and Life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about enemies, but we're going to talk about enemies in a... we're going to take a little different angle on this. You ever have an enemy that didn't play along? That didn't measure up to the... didn't measure up to the enemy label the way you wanted them to? You say, that sounds weird, but bear with me. There's a old movie now, but it's, yeah, I think it's a funny movie. It's old. John Candy. It's John Candy and I think Alan Alda. And I don't remember who else is in there. But it's called Canadian Bacon. It has Rhea Perlman and I don't know. There's several stars in it. I haven't seen it in a long time. But it's about an American president played by Alan Alda, who is trying to whip up a new enemy for the United States to help his reelection, because he needs a kind of rally around the president moment, be a nice presidential leader, and so he needs an enemy. And this is, of course, the movie came out after the Cold War had kind of collapsed, and the Soviet Union wasn't trying to blow us up anymore, and we weren't trying to blow them up anymore. So the first thing he does is he calls the Soviets. I think this was before the Soviet Union had collapsed. I don't remember exactly. But I do remember that he calls to see if he can restart the Cold War, because this will be valuable. And the guy is sitting there eating like a Big Mac, and he's got all this stuff. And he goes, no, Mr. President, you won. We lost. We love capitalism now. And it's a funny moment. He gets off the phone, and he's like, oh, man. Because he wanted an enemy. And so, of course, the premise of the movie, that's just at the beginning. I'm not spoiling anything. The premise of the movie is he decides to kind of frame Canada and convince the American people that Canada is the great threat to the North, and that we're in danger from Canada. And so he goes on this major rhetoric. They stage a couple things to make it look like Canada is about to invade the United States. And then hilarity ensues as some people who live in, I believe, Michigan on the border watch this and believe it and decide to preemptively invade Canada to strike a blow for America. And hijinks ensue because it's John Candy and it's funny. But the whole point is that he really needed an enemy, and he couldn't find anyone who would be an enemy. The enemy wasn't playing along. And can you imagine that, when an enemy doesn't act like an enemy? I mean, what do you do when you want a good fight? Because, I mean, if you're gonna have an enemy, I mean, there's your chance for a good on fight, and an enemy is supposed to be someone who really hates you, right? What do we do with this idea of an enemy that doesn't hate you? With someone who doesn't play along with what is supposed to be an enemy relationship? Now, we don't see much of any of that in politics these days. Nope. But I can think of a couple times. And maybe I've shared this in a podcast in an episode before. But when my grandmother and my great aunt were still living, they were sisters and they'd grown up together. And they'd always kind of not got along great. I mean, they loved each other, and yet it was very much a contentious relationship a lot of the time. And they would fight. And they fought recreationally. You know, like they wanted to fight. It was like something they did for fun. Only they'd get all worked up. But my grandmother began to kind of experience more grace in her life. And one day my aunt came to visit my grandmother, ready for a fight. It was like she needed it. It was like therapy. And they were always like super passive aggressive and the snide remarks and all this stuff. And my grandmother just decided not to take any bait. And no matter what my great aunt said, my grandmother just took it like at face value and was nice and just was sweet back to my great aunt, her sister. Which only made my aunt madder. And after a few minutes, my aunt kind of had to storm home. She was so angry. And my grandma was like, yeah, that was kind of fun. Because she was nice instead of picking the fight. So in the Bible, most of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. The story of the guy who tried to run away from God and got swallowed by a great fish. Or sometimes we say Jonah the whale. And the whale is the great fish, is a fun part of the story, but hardly the point of the story. It's just the part that we all remember. And sometimes we call Jonah the reluctant prophet, and we talk about that he was scared. In fact, I think in popular belief, being unfamiliar with the details of the story, we think that Jonah ran because he was scared to go to Nineveh. When Jonah was a prophet, there were some other prophets that were prophesying at the same time as Jonah, and they include a couple prophets who were very clear that in the future, because Israel was going to be disobedient, that Israel was going to be overthrown. And they very specifically said who was going to overthrow them, because now, at the time that they were saying this, and the time that Jonah was being Jonah, Israel was one of the biggest powers around in the area. They were one of the dominant powers. They were doing well. And yet these prophets were saying in the future, Assyria is going to rise up, and Assyria is going to overthrow Israel. It's going to capture Israel, drag it away into captivity. Well, that's not good. And the capital city of Assyria was a little place called Nineveh. And then one day God comes to Jonah and he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent, because if they don't, I'm going to wipe them out. And Jonah's like, you're going to wipe out Nineveh, the capital of the country that is said to going to beat us in the future. Perfect. I'm out of here. And rather than go to Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. You know, don't want to accidentally wander in there. And that's why the fish intervenes, as Jonah has to have a relocation, as God's like, no, no, no. I told you to go to Nineveh, and you're going to Nineveh. And Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he does a pretty poor job. He just wanders into the city one day, doesn't even go through the whole city. And he doesn't even say, hey, you should repent. God sent me to repent. He just says, hey, you know, in 40 days, you're all dead meat. Bye. He really wants the city destroyed. And so then he goes out and he sits outside the city, my safe distance, where he can watch the fireworks. But even though he'd done a really poor job, he basically just told them, you guys are dead meat. They took matters in their own hands and said, well, apparently we're in trouble here. Maybe if we repent, maybe we can avoid this fate. And so the whole city repents. They even have the animals showing signs of repentance. It's ludicrous almost. Their depth of repentance is great. And so the 40 days comes and goes, and no boom. You know, it's kind of like if you're old enough to remember Marvin the Martian. Where's the kaboom? there was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. And Jonah knows what happened. He's mad. He's like, oh, God, see, I told you this would happen. If you read Jonah chapter 4, you'll see this. It's like, God, I knew this would happen. This is why I tried to not come, because I knew you're all, like, forgiving and gracious. And I tried to keep this from happening. God, come on. Didn't you just wipe him out? And God's like, Jonah, what's wrong with you? Shouldn't I have compassion on them? And he tries to give Jonah a little lesson by first letting a plant grow up and give Jonah shade. And then he lets a worm kill the plant. And Jonah's really upset about the plant. And God says, now, Jonah, that plant just grew up. You didn't raise it. You didn't plant it. It just grew up. And yet you're all upset that the plant died. But there are thousands of people in that city. Shouldn't you care more about those people than that plant? Shouldn't I care more about the people in that city than that plant? Now think about it, because we started our episode today by talking about an enemy that won't play along. This is the capital of Israel's enemies. And Israel is God's people. These are the people who are evil, who are going to oppose God's people. They are very, very sinful. They are, in pretty much every definition, enemies of God. And if you're an enemy of God, then that must mean God is your enemy, right? And yet, God doesn't act like an enemy. God isn't looking to take him out. He's trying to rescue him. And he says to Jonah, shouldn't I have compassion? Jonah, they're your enemy, and you don't care. And Jonah's mad at God for caring. And of course, this is the same God who in the New Testament, when he comes to earth, is Jesus. And one of the things he says is, love your enemies. Do good to those who are awful to you. Because the Bible says that we were all enemies. That in our natural state, we are God's enemies. We're messed up, sinful, yucky people. Even when we think we're good, we're rarely that good. And a lot of times we feel like, well, God must be really mad at me. And if you've messed up or if you've done awful things, if you've made a mess in your life, you may feel like, well, God, man, God's probably through with me. And God's like, don't you understand my approach to enemies? I care about them. I'm not eager for their destruction. I'm eager for their salvation. I'm eager to try to rescue them. That's why I sent Jesus. That's why I came to earth. I came to earth to rescue my enemies and turn them into friends, to rescue them out of this bad thing we're in. In fact, Jesus says, I've come to bring peace. So if you feel like either you've made yourself an enemy of God or God's your enemy, God loves his enemies. And he told us to do that too. And our enemy can be our friend.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.